I know that there is one power, one essence, one all-knowing, always present. And we are all of that. Each and every person, being, animal, tree, whatever, on this earth, we are all connected. We are all connected to each other and to that source. We are the source. And just as I know we are the source, we individually have the power to be in bliss, to be in love, to be in connected in all ways, always. We are so powerful, and we are on this earth in these bodies that carry us on throughout this lifetime, carry our souls, the truth of who we are within this body, our essence. And from that essence, we choose. We can choose each and every moment and each and every day of who to be coming from our center. And that center is love, is compassion, is joy, is bliss, always, and again, always available. Or we can choose other, separation, not connected, not loving. But I refuse to choose that. And if I do go there, I get back as quickly as I am aware of it, get back to love, compassion, joy, which creates bliss. Again, wherever we are, whatever is occurring, bliss, joy, love, compassion is available. That is who we have come here to be. That is who we are. Sidetracks, yes. Feeling other than, yes. But not truly who we are here to be. Those are not our true qualities. Those are not the true qualities of anyone else. So just as we in this community show love to each other, compassion to each other, we can show that to every single person we come in contact with on this earth, whether known or unknown to us, because they are us and we are them, always connected. So take that in, just take that in. And feel that love for all beings on this earth. And create your own bliss. I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to be here this morning, to be amongst each and every one present, and to be me, and for everyone I see to be who they are. That is how it is to be, and I'm so grateful for that. Oh, and I release this into the law, knowing it is truth, it is fact, and it is. It just is. And together we say, and so it is.
So our talk today is the conclusion of a four-part series, and today we're going to be looking at the topic of mindful action, mindful activity. And our whole series this month has been based on the Eightfold Noble Path of Buddhism, which is in the Buddhist teaching the way to become free of suffering. And so we began this month with right mindfulness. We began with the theme of just breathe, connecting with source, which is the core of our path, the core of the whole path, that mindfulness, that connection with the one. And then we explored mindful intention and mindful speech. And today we complete that process, this kind of movement from the inner to the outer expression. And yet as we do so, as we talk about mindful action, we come right back to mindfulness. Thich Nhat Hanh tells us that the basis of right action, the core of right action, the foundation of right action is right mindfulness. And right action is closely associated with several mindfulness trainings. The first of the mindfulness trainings says, aware of the suffering caused by the destruction of life, I am committed to cultivating compassion and learning ways to protect the lives of people, animals, plants, and minerals. And this mindfulness training, this aspect of this speaks to a reverence for life, that without that reverence for life, we are acting unmindfully. We are acting, I'm kind of calling it for this talk, out of our minds, out of our capital M mind. And so we need a reverence for life, all life. The second of the mindfulness trainings is aware of the suffering caused by exploitation, social injustice, stealing, and oppression. I am committed to cultivating loving kindness and learning ways to work for the well-being of people, animals, plants, and minerals. I will practice generosity by sharing my time, energy, and material resources with those who are in real need. And so as we practice this mindfulness, I'm reminded of a Taoist term, Wu Wei. And Wu Wei can be roughly translated as actionless activity or effortless action. And it's not sitting on our couch or our meditation cushions doing nothing. Maria Nemeth, who wrote The Energy of Money and other books, says, in order to produce results in physical reality, we need to take action in physical reality. If we stay in metaphysical reality, doing nothing, we just metaphysical. And so if we want to see results in the world, we do have to move into action. But a person practicing Wu Wei is calm in the center of the most frenetic activity. We attain this state of calmness by acting from our center. You know, when I was learning Tai Chi, we first learned to practice what's called outer Tai Chi. So we learned the forms, we learned the movements, we learned all that process. And as we got better at that, as we learned that, then we began to work with what was known as the inner Tai Chi. And so it is that acting from our center. In Tai Chi, it's called the Dongjian, the center of the belly. But it's by acting from our center and not reacting from hurts and dysfunctional ego beliefs and expectations. But in order to do this, in order to be able to be calm and not reacting, we must be aware of our dysfunctional hurts, beliefs, and expectations. Believe it or not, we all have them. Yes, even you, even me. If we can't see them, we'll trip over them in the dark. This is the power of working with a spiritual coach, by the way, who doesn't share our blind spot, but can help us to see these dysfunctional patterns, these dysfunctional beliefs, not with judgment or condemnation, but with compassion. We don't need to fix our beliefs, our dysfunctions. The most likely we can't fix them anyways, but we just need to be aware of them. So when they get activated, and they will, we can recognize that they're our beliefs and not go into fight, flight, or freeze with the person or the situation that's triggering us. We can say, oh, there's that pattern again. There's my pattern of abandonment or hurt or, you know, whatever it is. When we can learn that what happens to us in life is neutral, it's neither good or bad, right or wrong, then when we can remove the meanings that we have attached to events, and we are meaning attachers, we ask ourselves, what does this mean? And then we make up a meaning. But it doesn't necessarily mean anything. It only means what the meaning we give it. And most of the time, I don't know about you, but my meanings are sometimes very erroneous when I look back in with hindsight. So when we can remove the meanings we have attached to events and the judgments we have of ourselves and others and recognize that we have the opportunity to open and learn, we move from dis-ease to ease. We move from constriction to openness and flow. And we move from distrust to trust. When we learn that we can actually trust life, we can trust life. And our egos will try and tell us, no, we can't. We're overwhelmed. I've got too much on my plate right now. And for the egos, from the ego's perspective, it's right. It has more on its plate than it can handle. When we look at the world, there's more on our plates than we can handle. There's no our ego will not figure a way out of the situations we're in the world now, or at any other time, by the way. But when we trust that there's an infinite, omnipresent, omnipotent force that is always expressing itself as life, when we can let go of our defensive postures, then something can shift. That's when we move from distrust to trust and from constriction to flow. When we stand in our defensive postures, proclaiming our self-righteousness, and we can either proclaim our self-righteousness as a victim or a victimizer, and we can blame and judge and condemn others. When we do all that, we cut off the flow of life, we cut off the flow of love, and we cut off the flow of true wisdom, and we act out of our minds instead of mindfully. The core of the universe is love. The core of the universe is love. Every spiritual teaching shows us this. When I can't love myself, I can't love others. And I can't love myself when I practice blame, shame, guilt, and fear with myself or others. I can't love myself when I'm forgetting that I am one with all life, I'm one with spirit, and I'm one with all the expressions of spirit. Ernest Holmes says we can't have unity without multiplicity, and unity is expressed in multiplicity. So our practice then is to remove the places of condemnation of others and of ourselves, to remove those places of condemnation. Sometimes this is called forgiveness, but some people have a challenge with that word forgiveness, and I prefer to call it removing the places of condemnation and judgment. And the purpose of doing that is not to approve of somebody else's or our own behavior. Rather, it's to free ourselves from the places where we have constricted the flow of love, from the points of dis-ease within our own lives. We have to come to realize that nothing that anyone has ever done to us or we to them has ever, ever removed us from the infinite love in which we live, move, and have our being. Now, it may have felt that way. I may have completely forgotten that I'm that way. You know, when as a child, I was put into an institution, orphanage by my mother for 3 months while she couldn't take care of me. As a little kid, as an 8-month-old, you know, I thought I was being abandoned and betrayed, and I had done something wrong and created all this meaning and judgment and like that. The truth is, I was never outside of God's love, and I was never abandoned, and I was never made, because the infinite can't do that. So the first person we have to heal is ourselves. The first person to heal before we go out there into the world is ourselves. Out-of-mind activity will tell us we have to charge off and fix others or fix ourselves, which is a great way for the ego to distract us from our real work. It likes to get all busy doing, and we need to spend some time being. To act mindfully is to act from compassion. To act listening to source as we are interacting with human life. You know, practitioners are taught that when you're listening to a client, when you're working with a client, you're listening to the client, you're also listening to the intuition within at the same time. And that is our practice. Can we listen to the source as we are interacting with human life? Not one or the other, but both. Mindfulness requires attention, instead of reacting defensively. When we're willing to explore, we can start to examine things such as, what I am feeling is showing me some aspect of myself which I am judging. What I'm feeling is showing me an aspect of myself which I am judging. And I want to learn to accept all aspects of myself. I want to learn to bring love to all the wounded parts of myself. Because we can't bring love to the world if we can't bring love to ourselves. We can't bring love to the woundedness of the world if we can't bring love to the woundedness of ourselves. The paradox is, it seems like we're just focusing ourselves and not the world, but because we are all one, because we are totally interconnected, when we bring love to ourselves, we automatically bring more love to the world. It may not look like we are doing big, dramatic things, But the Taoists remind us that water, seemingly the weakest of the elements, will over time wear away everything else. Love, compassion will wear down the hardest of rocks. God is love. And God plus one is a majority. I missed a page. Hang on a second. It may not be important, which is why I missed it. When the ego is caught up in right-wrong thinking, you know, it's that, you know, but I've got facts. I can prove I'm right. I've never done this, but I've seen people do it. Just ask several of my ex-wives and my kids and, you know, friends and stuff like that. You know, it's funny because I've had interactions this week with two different people, both of whom very staunchly claiming they are constitutionalists. I am a constitutionalist. And it's funny because one supports President Trump and blames the Democrats for everything that's going on in our country. And the other one supports Bernie and blames the Republicans for everything that's going on in our country, both from the same constitution. And it's just funny to watch how we bring what we see, how we bring our perceptions to something and carry our beliefs and therefore add the meaning that it must mean this. With the ego caught up in right-wrong duality, there's no opening to learn. And we are here to learn. One of my favorite poems is from Rumi, who says, "Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and right-doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there." When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. Ideas, language, even the phrase "each other" doesn't make any sense. When we can let go of us and them, as an us versus them, me versus you, when we can let go of needing to be right instead of needing to be loving, we'll start to open up and create something more powerful. Mindful action, the core of what we're talking about, expresses love. It's a way, it's a check you can do on the action you're doing. Does this action express more love or lead to the experience of more love? Because if love is all there is, if God is love, then I need to be listening to and acting in accordance with and in alignment with that expression of love. And I can tell you from a bunch of failed marriages and a bunch of challenged relationships that it is more important to be loving than it is to be right. Dang it, it is. And so when mindful action expresses love and it heals and releases separation, fear, and self-righteousness. So this week, I want to invite us to three spiritual practices. Number one, establish a core of mindfulness, a core of mindfulness. If we're not in that core, if we're not doing daily practice in mindfulness, in the non-doing and simply paying attention, we will not be in shape when we encounter situations that will try and pull on our defensiveness. So establish a core. This is your daily working out in the gym. You know, when I was a hardcore cyclist, I daily trained, you know, for what I was doing. And so if we're going to be effective leaders and expressors of mindful action in the world, we need to daily train. So that's the first one. Number one is establish that core of mindfulness. So basically do your spiritual practice. The second one then is forgive and or release condemnation and judgment from anywhere that you have it. Invite the infinite love that's within you already to flow. There's times, there's people that I have had great difficulty in forgiving or releasing my condemnation of, and I bet you there are those who feel that way about me. And I've sometimes had that about myself and my own actions. And there's times that I just have to do what Jesus did on the cross and say, "Father, forgive them. I know they know not what they're doing." I can't do it of my own, but I'm calling something bigger than me. I'm calling that infinite love to flow into the situation, even though I don't know how. So that's our second practice, is to forgive or release the condemnations or judgments. And then finally, become aware that acting mindfully isn't an act of will or forcing it. It's a dance with the divine. And by the way, let the divine lead. And that let that mind guide you. Let that one mind, that infinite love, guide you. So that's our three spiritual practices this week. Establish the core of mindfulness. In other words, continue to do your spiritual practice. Forgive, release, let go of the condemnations and the judgments. And number three is become aware that acting mindfully isn't an act of will, but a dance, and play and do that dance with the divine. Are we good with that for this week? Cool. I'm going to close with a reading from the book Broken Open by Elizabeth Lesser. It's one of our books for this month. And in this particular chapter, she's talking about having dinner with some friends just a few days after September 11th in 2001. And she and her friends were all pretty staunch liberal friends. And she was having as she contemplated the people who had lost their lives and all that meant, and all the, as she says, the destruction of the naivety of the country, which is what we experienced then. And to a degree, what we're experiencing now is the destruction or the awakening from our naivety about things. She was moved into her heart, and she said she was sitting with this dinner, and she was just in deep heart space, and her friends were still doing politics, having political discussions. And she said, "Can't you let it go just for tonight, just so we can be human beings?" And she said, they all said, "No, we can't." And so she said she went into the bathroom, cried for a while, and she came back out. And there was the waitress that was working with him saw her. And anyways, the two of them had a major emotional meltdown, and finally touched the hearts of her friends. And they said, "Yes, we can." And that feeling of openness, that feeling of moving beyond the ideas of right and wrong into just a feeling of compassion. So at the end of this experience, she writes, 600 years before the birth of Christ, the Chinese wise man Lao Tzu counseled, "In times of adversity, make energetic progress in the good." This is still the real work at hand, for each one of us must meet the bad in the world with the good in our own hearts. To energetically rouse ourselves out of tired habits and worn-out loyalties, and replace them with bigger and broader circles of inclusion. I love that. You know, we have that song we oftentimes sing, "Let everybody in, let everybody into the circle of love." To replace them with bigger and broader circles of inclusion. It was time for me to let as many into the circle of family and tribe as I could. The president, and by the way, she had mentioned earlier in the book that her previous prayer for the president was, "May he find a different job." This is George W. Bush. But she was at the point where she was holding human compassion and mindfulness. "So it's time for me to let as many into the circle of family and tribe as I could. The president, the poverty-stricken people of the world hardened by years of war, the short-sighted corporate crusaders gobbling up the resources of the world, the intolerant religious fanatics clinging to simplistic answers in a mysterious universe. In widening the circle, I could still hold to my convictions. What I needed to surrender was anger and judgment. And what I needed to adopt was vision and humility." And so I invite us this week to adopt vision and humility, to let go of our closed circles and open them up with greater compassion. We have an affirmation that I'll put up on the screen here in a moment. We can say together. So join me in this affirmation. "Every action I take emerges from knowing my oneness with all and serves the highest good." Let's say that together again. "Every action I take emerges from knowing my oneness with all and serves the highest good." Thank you. We have some beautiful music from Brent and Amy.